There's this quote I heard from a movie: the greatest trick the devil ever played was to make the world believe he doesn't exist. I have people tell me frequently that they don't think the devil exists, and I will even say that I went through a period in my own life where I believed the devil didn't exist. And this premise, this quote, is the premise of a movie from the 1990s called The Usual Suspects. And the movie is about five men who were wrongly accused of a crime, and they decide to get, in order to get back at the police, they will mastermind an even larger crime, to pay, so that the police have to pay the price. And all the while, in the background, there's this mysterious man named Kaiser Soze, who put both the crimes into motion and has a tight hold on the five men who are wrongly accused. And the movie is very dark. It's a very dark movie, not because people die or that there's a lot of crime. The darkness comes from the fact that evil is unrecognizable. It's all around, all throughout the movie. There's evil everywhere, but evil has no face in the movie. Only at the very end do you realize who the mysterious Soze is, and you're completely shocked when you realize that evil was lurking so much more closely than anyone in the audience or in the movie ever knew. There's something about evil in movies or in books or in the news, something about evil. I'm reminded of an article I read very recently, about a week and a half ago, about the recent baseball scandal with the Houston Astros. And in 2017, it was figured out by someone actually on YouTube and some other people, but it was figured out that the major league team, the Houston Astros, were using a camera in the outfield to steal signs from the catcher, and then they would bang on a trash can depending on what the pitch was going to be, and then you knew, if you were the batter, whether you should swing or not. And if you keep up with the news, if you're a baseball fan, you're horrified. Okay, I just say. But if you keep up with the news, you might have heard of this. The reason why this is kind of a big deal is because in 2017, the Astros won the World Series. Okay, so it's created a lot of friction in baseball. And also because they didn't really do anything to the players. They did a lot to the management and to the Astros team management, but they didn't really do anything to the players. However, this article I read said that the scandal might be the best thing to have happened to baseball in decades. And so when I saw that title, I thought, I gotta read that. Like, how could this be the best thing? And so Major League Baseball attendance, you might not know this, or you might. The attendance for Major League Baseball and interest has dropped in the United States. And even between 2018 and 2019, there were about 1 million less people who went to and watched baseball games. And attendance has been slipping for years. And baseball hasn't had, they've tried all kinds of things, but they haven't been able to find a solution for fixing this attendance problem. This article I was reading suggested that the Astros cheating might be the solution. You see, the Astros went from being this powerhouse team with all these kind of likable guys who were really talented baseball players to the evil empire of all these cheater, dirty baseball players that need to be taken out. It makes them evil. And evil sells, right? Evil sells. I mean, right? We read the news articles for evil. The article basically said that baseball has been lacking evil for the last few decades, but the scandal of this last month has created a ton of interest. People, even basketball commentators, are paying attention to see what will happen next. That is the power of evil. It's only human to see evil in the form of a person. I mean, we want evil to have a name. We want to visualize evil. We want to vilify evil, to separate us from it. And we don't want to be a part of it, so that we can engage it, that evil. We can engage it because it has a face. It's an opponent in battle. This is true in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. I mean, today, Adam and Eve, Aaron the priest, King David, Job, Jesus and his disciples, they all run into faceless evil over and over in order to live a life that chooses God, a faithful person must face the choice of whether we are going to act inside or outside of God. We are all faced with that choice. Will we choose to act with God or act outside of God? It's much easier to make that choice if we can make, if we could put a face onto temptation. Today, Jesus is tempted three times: bread for hunger, to save himself from danger, and to take all the power of the world that the devil can offer. Each time, Jesus rejects temptation. He is teaching the reader, that's us here today, teaching us that something bigger is coming. Something bigger than these three temptations. The cross. The cross will be much more tempting to want to turn away from, to want to flee, to want to ignore, to want to deny. Certainly God can save God from death on the cross, just like God and Jesus can refuse temptation to sin. But in our humanity, we need to see God offer sacrifice and refuse temptation, so that we can learn that same lesson for ourselves. Most of us don't know how it feels to be offered bread after not eating for 40 days. I mean, you can ask my family, if I don't eat for 12 hours, it's pretty ugly. Okay, 40 days, like, there's just no way I'd ever go there, right? Most of us have never been held over the ledge of the Empire State Building. We certainly don't know the temptation of being offered all of the power of the world. However, each one of us understands the temptations of pride or vanity or selfishness or apathy. These are just as dark as Jesus's temptations, maybe even more so, because just like the Houston Astros, no one expects them, and they usually don't come with a face. We have to work to think. What does pride look like in someone? We have to work to think. Has anyone ever taken a picture of the face of selfishness? Temptation comes to us in moments when we look at others and start to feel insecure about not having enough. Temptation comes to us when we make judgments about strangers or friends who have made choices that we don't understand. Then, before we know it, temptation has ruled us. Lent is a time to engage the dark places in our lives, that we may come face to face with them, that we may name them, understand the dark places, and seek forgiveness for those dark places. It's not about guilt. I'm not asking you to feel guilt, walk around feeling guilty. I'm asking you to face it. That's what Jesus did. He faced it. It's about freedom from the control that our fears and insecurities have over us, and a new beginning that only God can usher in. Amen.